We are at the top, or I guess at this point it's sort of the middle of Kufmemdaler, but let's rewind a little bit. 144. We had just asked, at the bottom of Kufmem Gimel Amud Beis, we just asked, is it possible that Reb Yehuda thinks that stam is aser? What does that mean, that stam is aser? So we're talking about juices that flow out of fruit. Typically, Reb Yehuda's of the opinion that if fruit were gathered for the sake of their juices, so then even if the juices came out on their own, you would not be allowed to use them. Right? That's generally. He does apparently hold that if it's grapes or olives, which are generally assumed to be used for their juices, so then that would be usher no matter what, if the juices come out. Whether you gathered them for the sake of the food or whether you gathered them for the sake of the juices, it's always going to be usher, right? That was his, basically, his giving into the Chacham Shita. So now the Mishnah, the Brisa that they quoted, basically said, if they're for food, so then anything that comes out of them would be mutter. If they're for juices or for nothing, meaning you didn't designate them, you just happened to have them, so then they're going to be aser. So now the Gemara is saying, V'saba Reb Yehuda stam aser. Is it really true that Reb Yehuda is of the opinion that if you don't designate them, so then they're going to be aser? This reminds me of a general question they asked. I think it was as they asked the Chavetz Chaim, what happens, you know, they have the Medrash that says, if the whatever the Jewish people thought of when they were eating the man, that's what it tasted like, right? You know that one that all the Jewish day schools teach, right? So even though the Gemara, the Torah itself tells us what it tastes, whatever. So the Chavetz Chaim was once asked, what if they didn't think of anything, right? So if you thought of it, steak, okay, it tastes like, if you thought of cake, okay, so it tastes like that. But what if they didn't think about anything? So Chavetz Chaim says, if they didn't think of anything, it didn't taste like anything. If you want something to happen, you have to do it consciously. So there's a whole mussar shmuz in that. But either way, so now Rabbi Yehuda is saying, they're asking Rabbi Yehuda, so what if you don't think of anything? If you don't think of anything, does Rabbi Yehuda think that the juices are aser or are the juices mutter? So what's the stam? What's the default? So the Gemara says, V'hatanan, the Mishnah says, the Gemara asks, really, how could we assume that Rabbi Yehuda says that stam, the default, is aser, that you can't use the juices, but don't we have the following Mishnah? The Mishnah says that the chalav isha mitamei l'ratzon shelo l'ratzon, that the milk of a woman is going to be tamei, whether it is something she did on purpose or something she didn't want to happen. And the chalav behema ain't mitamei el ratzon. However, the milk of an animal is not going to be tamei unless it was taken out on purpose. So Amar Rabbi Kiva, Kav Chomer Hu Machal Avisha Shein Miuchel L'Katan Mitamei L'Ratzon Shelo L'Ratzon Chalav Behem Shemichel L'Katan Bein L'Katan Bein Gedolim and Adin Sheitam Bein L'Ratzon Bein L'Shelo L'Ratzon. So now Rabbi Kiva is making a Kav Chomer. We saw this yesterday, which is why I'm going through it quickly. That if women's milk, a mother's milk, is only relevant for a child, that's going to be tamei regardless if it was on purpose. So the milk of an animal, which is relevant for an adult also, should always be tamei regardless also. So at the very least, because it's even more practical than woman's milk. So the Gemara responds, Amr lo, im tamei chalav isha, shalal ratzon shadamei kvasa tamei chalav bima, shalal ratzon shadamei kvasa tower. So he basically says, we say in response to Rabbi Akiva, no, there's a chumra about women's milk, which is that it's similar to blood. Now, we're not going to get into how exactly this happens. The Gemara is of the opinion that blood and milk have a very close connection. They might come from the same nutrients or something like that. And therefore, there is a connection there, and the woman's bodily fluids are going to be more chamor than the animal's bodily fluids. So that's a chumra that sort of breaks down the Kav Chomer. So the Gemara says, Amar lehem machmer ani b'chalav. Rabbi Kiva responds, I care more about the milk, mi bedam, than I do care about the blood, shacholav yirfuot tam of makaz yirfuot tahor. Because if you take out milk for the sake of medical advantages, so some kind of medicinal purpose, So then, so not medicinal, but health purpose. So then it's going to be tamei still. But if you would bloodlet, that blood is not going to be tamei. That's going to be tower. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, I look specifically at the milk, and that's why I can make the kava chomer. So we're still trying to get to the point to where we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda again. So Amrulo, they say back to Rabbi Kiva, sali zeisav v'andavim milchichu, that the difference is. A disproof to you could be learned from olives and grapes. In what way? Shamashkin hayotze mehen l'ratzon temein, shalol l'ratzon tohorim, that the juices that come out of olives and grapes are only going to be tamei if they're done l'ratzon. If they come out of the olives and grapes without one's intent, so they're going to be tahor, which implies that even grapes and olives, if they come out without you wanting them, so they're not going to be considered bona fide, this is how I'm understanding, bona fide liquids. And therefore, they're not, presumably, that would also mean for Rabbi Yehuda that they're not going to be bona fide liquids. The Gemara is now going to say, my lav l'ratzon, does this mishnah not mean that l'ratzon means d'nichalei, that he wants it? Shalo l'ratzon is bistama, that you don't have necessarily an intent to have it. Umaz esim v'anavim d'b'nei z'chita nina shalo l'ratzon v'lo klum. If, when it comes to olives and grapes, which typically are squeezed, we assume that lo l'ratzon, that he doesn't want it, means that you don't have any intent for the juices. And nonetheless, v'lo klum, it doesn't create anything when the juices flow out. Tutzim v'rimonim, when it comes to mulberries and pomegranates, delav b'nei z'chita, which are not generally assumed to be used for their juices. So lo kol shekin, all the more so that the juices that flow out of those fruit should not be considered bona fide liquids, and Rabbi Yehuda should not disallow them. He should not prohibit them on Shabbos, the juices that flow out unintentionally. So that's how I'm understanding it. The only thing that I'm a little concerned about is the inference of Tumah and Tara. I'm not really sure how that plays into Shabbos here. But either way, so the Gemara says, lo, that's not what it means. L'ratzon b'stama. When it says l'ratzon, what it means is that's the default. Meaning it's not something you're against. Shelo l'ratzon, when it says in the Mishnah that you're against, is that it's not to your will. So d'gali adate, it's as if you said that you don't want it. Da'amar lo nichale, you specifically said, I do not want the juices. And therefore, when it talks about the zeis and v'anavim, when it talks about the olives and the grapes, so then that's why in those cases that it's lo l'ratzon, that's why it's going to be tahor, because you're not considering them bona fide juices. Similarly here, the reason that it's going to be usher for Rabbi Yehuda is because you didn't specify that you wanted the juices, that would make it still usher, just because you didn't specify. If you had specified, maybe that would be a different story. I'm not sure if he goes that far to say that. He's basically just saying that this is not a disproof. Because there, in the cases of the Tumah and Tahara situation of the woman nursing, so that's a situation of conscious pushing something away. And here we're talking about default, so there is not really a disproof to the default concept. V'bayis ema, another answer you could give for Rabbi Yehuda is, Shani sali zeis v'anavim kim d'le ibud kaimi, me'kara afkori ma'afkar lehu. That the baskets of olives and grapes, because they're already going to be lost. Why is that? What does that mean again? So a basket is porous, and therefore the juices that come out, it's clearly showing that you don't want to continue, you don't want to save or reserve the juices, preserve the juices, because you put it in a basket. If you wanted to actually save the juices, you'd put it in something which is going to actually contain them and not seep through the holes. So the fact that they're in a basket means, you actually wanted them to be lost. So same type of thing. That's a situation where you're clearly making it obvious that you don't want the juices. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Reb Yehuda, the Modi L'Rabbanim Zesim Ba'Navim. We found that Reb Yehuda, based on this Mishnah and other Mishnahs that we said before, Reb Yehuda agrees with the Chacham when it comes to olives and grapes, that even if you do not specify that you want the juices, it's still going to be considered aser, like the Chachamim say. Rabbanan demoda the Reb Yehuda b'shar peros minolan. Where do we find an example where the other Chachamim disagree or agree with Reb Yehuda when it comes to other fruit, that the other fruit are going to be aser, the juices that come out of them naturally are going to be aser only when you had the intention of using the juices. If you had the intention of using the fruit themselves, so then the juices are going to be mutter. Where do we find the Rabbanan who say that? The Tana, the Brisa, says, on to Amud Beis, Sochten bepegayin upeprishin ubezradin, you're allowed to actively squeeze plums and quinces and crab apples. Avalobu rimonim shel beis menashe bar menachem hayu sochten rimonim. And you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates because this Beis Menashe Bar Menachem, in their house, they used to squeeze pomegranates. And therefore, it's normal for the juices to flow out. It's normal for them to be considered used for their juices. And when you have these juices flowing out naturally, therefore, we're going to be making them usher, just like olives and grapes, which, by the way, is very important halachically. Because that means that our threshold for this halacha is normalcy, right? This Bar Menashia, this Beis Menashia, this one house used to use pomegranates, and therefore that made it normal for the juices for the fruit to be used for the juices, and therefore they're going to be usher. So nowadays, a lot of the posts can talk about what about lemons, and what about oranges? Those things are used. Lemons are almost exclusively used for their juices nowadays. So would that make the lemons usher? So typically we actually assume that lemons are in the category, at least midrabanan, are in the category of olives and grapes. And oranges might also be, depends on, I think, what you're using it for, which we'll see at the end of this daf or tomorrow's daf. So the Gemara says, midrabanan hi. How do we know that brisa that you just quoted is from the Chachamim? Dilma Reb Yehuda. Maybe that's Shitas Reb Yehuda who's talking. V'tavinam Reb Yehuda, emar deshamas le'el Reb Yehuda, yatsu mi'atzman. And even if you're going to say it's Reb Yehuda Shita, maybe Reb Yehuda only thinks that you'd be allowed to use the juices if they come out by themselves. So, from the Chachil mi'shamas le'el. Whoever heard of the thing that you could actually actively squeeze a quince or squeeze a crab apple? That seems to be even more than Reb Yehuda says. So Ella Mayis Lachamir, what must you assume? Came to Lavane Schita Ninhu Afila Kharchila. That because they're not typically squeezed, you could even squeeze them lacharchila. Afila Tamadra Rabbanan, Kevin Delavane Schita Ninhu Afila Kharchila. So similarly you could also say, once we're making inferences from this mission in this way, you could say it's also referring to the Rabbanan. Shmamina Rabbanan hi Shmamina. So they're dissimilar from Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and therefore we could just as easily assume that it's a rabbi's. I'm not really sure about the logical progression here, but I guess because it's more, I don't know. I don't exactly know why, how we understand that this has to be the Rabbanan. Right, it's basically just saying it could just as easily be the Rabbanan. That's how I'm understanding it. So the Gemara then says, well, so fine. So now we have not necessarily a proof, but a possible proof that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda that other fruit, if they're used for food, can be used for their if the juices flow out, you can use the juices. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. That Mishnah, that Brisa said, Shabbos v'nash bar menachem yisof v'mirbonim, that one house is going to dictate that the juices from a pomegranate are useful. Amar Rav Nachman v'chi shab menash shabbos v'nash bar menachem. We're passing that pomegranate juice is going to be usher if it flows out naturally because of this house. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Rav Nachman menash ben menachem tanahu. Why is Menashe the one who's going to consider the status of pomegranate juice. V'chi tema halacha ki haitana tzavar lakishel menashe ben menachem. Maybe you're going to tell me that there is a Tana who holds like the reality of Menashe ben Menachem's house. And we shum desavar ki Menashe ben Menachem halacha moso. So just because there's one opinion that follows that this person, did that mean that the halach is like in Menashe ben Menachem, have ruba da alma? Why is he dictating the natural state of the world because he himself uses pomegranates for juice? As an aside, I think it's very, very expensive to buy pomegranate juice because of how difficult it is to squeeze. So the fact that this one person did it should not dictate to the rest of the world that we're going to Pasch and that pomegranate juice is Usher if it flows out naturally. So the Gemara says, in, yeah, we are. It's now we have another Mishnah, a similar Mishnah that says, Hamakayim Kotzim Makarem, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kidesh, Vachacham Omer Enu Makadesh, Eladavar Shekamo Makaymin. That if you have thorns inside of a Karem, inside of a vineyard, those could also be considered a problem, or those could be considered holy or sanctified for the sake of Kilayim, mixing different plants. The Chachamim say, no, you can only have Kilayim with things that you typically grow. If it's something that you typically don't want grown, so then we're not going to assume that it can become Kilayim. Remember Rabbi Chanina, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Chanina says, what's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer? That says that it's even going to be Kilayim with thorns. Shekein baravya mekayimin kotzei saros l'gmalehen. Because in Arabia, they used to use thorn bushes or thorn plants for the sake of their camels. And therefore, they dictate that that's a normal thing for people to use. So it's not really that Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer disagree, but it's that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the reality of Arabia, that these things can be used and are typically used. Or the Chachamim say that they're not. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Midi Iria, Da'aravya, Asra. Arabia is an entire, I don't know if it's a country, or it's here it says it's a country. It's an entire place that people used to use the thorns. Hacha, Batla, Datok, Itzel, Kaladam. Here we're talking about one individual household. That one individual household should be subsumed under the rest of humanity. And therefore it should be considered like only a minority opinion and not be dictating the halacha for everybody else. Ella hainu taima kid Rav Chista. Rather, the reason is like Rav Chista. Dam Rav Chista tradin sheschatan nosan mikva polson es hamikva b'shinui mare. Rav Chista says that these tradin, which are beets that a person squeezed into the mikvah, it makes the mikvah possible because it changes the color of the mikvah. So the Gemara says v'halav nei schitan inhu. But those aren't typically things that you squeeze. Elamai ischa meimar came into achshavinu. The fact that you gave it significance is itself what makes it a disqualification. So here too, in regards to the pomegranate, if a person gives it significance, it's going to make it usher for its liquids. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Rav Papa Amar Mishum Dehavi Davar She'en Osim Menu Mikvah L'Chachila. You can't make a mikvah out of beet juice, and therefore that's the general rule, is that you can't discolor a mikvah with something which you can't use as a mikvah. Tanan hasam, and therefore it's not about achshavinu. It's not about giving it significance. It's just about the fact that you can't use it as a mikvah. And therefore, you don't have a proof from there that pomegranate juice, if you give it significance, is also going to be possible for Shabbos. Is also going to be also for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, the Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah says, "Nafal Sochel Yain Ochometzu Mocha V'Shina Marav." Puzzle that if wine, vinegar, or some kind of olives juices comes out, which is not oil apparently. So then, if it changes the appearance of the mikvah, so it's going to be puzzle. Who says that this discharge from an olive is going to actually be considered a juice? Why would it ever be considered a problem? So Amar Abai Rabbi Yaakov, it's the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov, Tana Rabbi Yaakov, or Mochal Harehu Kamashka. Rabbi Yaakov held that the Mochal, that this discharge from an olive, is also going to be considered a bona fide significant juice. Umatam Amru Mochal Yotzu Betchilat Tahor. So then why would it be the case that generally we assume that this is a Tahor liquid? Because Lafisha Enu Yotzu Bekumo. Because a person naturally doesn't want it to be existing, people don't really care for it, and therefore it's going to be tahor. Rabbi Shimon, however, Rabbi Shimon Omer Mochal Inu Kamashka. Rabbi Shimon thinks that it's not like a normal juice, and therefore he has to understand Matam Amr Mochal Yotim Eikul Besabad Tame. Why is it therefore that it's going to be considered Kame if it goes through the process? Because it's impossible for it to not be part of the oil that comes through in the end with some of the olives, and therefore it's going to be still be considered Tame. So the Gemara says, Mabi Nahu, what's the difference between these two opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yaakov? So the Gemara says, Ikamanau de Asi Basar Itzitsasa. That if it comes between, if it comes in the middle of the process, Rav Amar Mishum de Havi Devash Enosimena Mikva, Uposa Osimikva Bishino Mara. Okay, so basically there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon in terms of whether this discharge is going to be tameh in the middle of the process, but comes along Rav at the end of the day and says the reason that those juices, or the specifically this olive discharge, is going to be pasul is because it's something you don't make a mikveh out of, and therefore it's going to be posel the mikveh when it changes the color of the mikveh. But it doesn't have anything to do with significance of the fruit. It only has to do with the fact that it's something you can't make a mikveh out of. Okay, that's the end of that discussion. Seemingly, in terms of Bar Menashe, it doesn't really explain, though, to me at least, how it could be that Bar Menashe is going to dictate to the rest of the world. I guess we're just basically saying that it doesn't, and we don't pass them like that that shita of Bar Menashe, like Rabbi Yochanan wanted to claim. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shanam Lotocha Kedera. A person could actually squeeze grapes. This is a big chiddush coming. Squeeze grapes into an already prepared dish, meaning you're going from the grapes into some other food. The reason for that is because you're going from food to food. You're not really using the juices as juices. But you couldn't put it into an empty bowl, because then you're clearly using it for the juices. From the fact that you just said that, we can learn, you could squeeze out the milk from a goat into food, but you couldn't do it into an empty receptacle. So, therefore, we must understand that any juices that come out of food and go into food are going to also be considered food, and it's not going to be considered a bona fide squeezing. However, we learned that a zav, if it squeezes the milk from a goat, so then that goat is that milk is going to be tameh, because the zav did it. If the real halacha is that food is only going to be considered usser or a bona fide juice after it comes out of, after it goes into an empty receptacle, here it doesn't make a difference. Here it just says that if you squeeze, no matter what happens, it's going to be tame. So how could it become tame if it wasn't necessarily used as a juice or just as a liquid? So the Gemara says, "Kedam Rabbi Yochanan b'tipa mulchlachas al piyadad, hachanan b'tipa mulchlachas al piyadad." That Rabbi Yochanan has a shita. If there's something covering the udder that is going to make it a non-liquid, so that's going to be machshir it to become tame. It's going to affect the status of the liquid, because that thing itself is not going to be for liquid purposes. It's just there for, I don't know, some kind of health concern or helping it facilitate the nursing or the milking. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. I'm trying to think if we should do this or not. So, yeah, let's do this tomorrow, because it continues for a few paragraphs here. So either way, where are we holding at the end of this? So we just said basically that a big chiddush, that if you're going to squeeze juices into a an empty receptacle, so then that's a bona fide juice, that's a bona fide liquid for the sake of the iser of squeezing on Shabbos. If, however, you're going to be squeezing something into a food, that's not going to be a bona fide liquid, because you're going from food to food. So even if, for instance, you take a piece of lemon and you'd squeeze it onto your salad, so that would be more lenient on Shabbos, because you're going from a lemon into another food, the salad. If, however, you would squeeze the lemon into a juice, so then you're using it as a juice, and that would possibly be more machmir, although we'll see some other nuances to the salacha as we keep going. Okay, shkayach.